football is around the corner, and we are ramping it up over here on the Ringer NFL feed in the month of August.
Every week, Ben Solak and I will be bringing you not one, but two extra point takens. That's right, double the trouble as we predict, debate, and analyze our way through camp and the preseason every Monday and Friday.
But that is not all. Stephen Ruiz and I will be coming to you every Wednesday. We'll talk about everything in the world of the NFL. And who knows, maybe Stephen will even have something nice to say about your favorite squad. Though, frankly, I wouldn't count on it.
Subscribe to the Ringer NFL show on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
And be sure to follow the Ringer NFL on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at Ringer NFL.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com. This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com, Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
All right, guys, this is where this thing started, and that's where we are almost 3 years later, a solo show with Gio, referring to myself in third person. That'll happen often. The big fella is off to, I guess he's in Oakland. He hasn't been killed yet, so that's good. I talked to him last night. He is still alive. So yeah, we're going to do, might be a little bit of a quicker show, and we're definitely going to do something a little bit different. I think Jesse's biggest fear in leaving me alone on the podcast is that I would totally ruin it and just call a bunch of people out and ruin relationships and lose sponsors and get canceled. However, and I don't want to shock him too much because of the heart. However, Jesse, to your pleasant surprise when you hear this, we are going to do a little hobby history with Gio and a positive spin on it. So I made a post the other day, one of the most, especially now that the group's gotten so big and engaged, had some of the most engagement we've had in a while. And it was very simple. It was just the, and I stand by what I said. The hobby is full of good people. It's like everything else in the world, though. The 1% whiners, complainers, donkeys, just the clowns, the basement dwellers who are just, you know, stealing all the sweatpants off the shelves at Walmart are just the loudest. But you go to any card show I've ever been to, 99.9% of interactions I've had when making deals online, not with just like random posts, but when actually interacting with people on socials, trying to make deals there. It's a little bit less with the percentage of breakers, but 80 to 90% of breakers I've ever dealt with on multiple various platforms, nothing but good experiences. The majority of people I know in the real world and on social, again, people I actually deal with, hey, here's this Ken Griffey Jr. card I got. The response is, that's awesome, or they're happy for you, excited you got a PC card. And I say that just because it does at times turn into, you know, hey, instead I post a picture of a PC Ken Griffey card. The first thing is, well, he's not as good as this guy. You should only be buying vintage. Or, yeah, it's in a PSA holder, but you should be buying SGC or whatever it might be. It doesn't matter. Just a reminder, that is the tiniest speck of this hobby. Most people are normal, decent people who like just love collecting cardboard. And so every now and again, I do think we need a reminder of, dude, just do what you like. Like, this is not coming from an influencer or from a podcast host or anything else. Enjoy the hobby. Like, you really, I do think it is super important for everybody to actually find something they like to do in the hobby. And just in terms of hobby history, like, that's how it started for me. You know, for me growing up, I was in every other weekend with the dad kid. You know, parents split when I was four. Every other weekend, I went to the old man's house. It is not like the easiest thing, especially as I started growing up a little bit more. You know, you get to be like 8, 10, 12 years old. Like, we played a little bit of Madden on like PS1, I guess it would have been, or whatever it was. But at least from where I was from, it's not like back then. This is 30 years ago. We weren't exactly just sitting around and talking and having kumbayas. And, you know, I'm sure it was just as awkward for my dad as it was for me. Like, what do I do with this kid every other weekend? And honestly, by extension, even my brother, my older brother, Russ, 7 years older than me, you know, an 18-year-old and an 11-year-old, not exactly like you're hanging out. Like, he's driving and hanging with his friends. I'm just stuck there every other weekend. And so that's why And again, just to kind of, like I said, we're doing a little spin. It's going to be a short story because I think half you people would rather just hear me rip on people, but it's not going to happen. So, but that's why cards were so important to me. And even now, I find myself getting crazy sentimental about cards, thinking about my kid coming. Like, oh, when this kid becomes, you know, 4, 5, 6, he's going to grow up watching, you know, maybe there's the expansion Nashville baseball team. And if that's the case, that's going to be his team. The Titans will be his team. We'll find cards of those people. But like for me, that really was the escape from school, you know, getting picked on at school and being bullied and all that crap, which is great. That's a nice thing about going to school in Haverhill. Those people are all still living at home with their parents. So you can look back and laugh now. But seriously, cards became such an awesome escape for me, one. And then two, it was like, oh, and I'm sure my dad listens to every episode. I'm sure he feels the same way. The pressure was off. Every other Saturday I was there, card show. Every single weekend. Like, we went to, in Derry and Londonderry, New Hampshire. There were two of the most insanely massive flea markets. I don't know if they still happen or not. Like, hundreds of tables. And every weekend, every Saturday, there were like 10 or 15 tables that only dealt in either cards or starting lineups, which were absolutely my jam back in the day. I loved it. I still have a ton of them. And that's what we did every weekend. And so really, to me, cards became like the connection of like, oh, well, this is like, yeah, we'd watch games on Sunday, obviously. Sunday was taken care of. Friday night, you're getting picked up. You're after school, you drive there. That night's gone. Anyways, Saturday, though, the card show, and on the rare occasion we didn't go there, we'd go to a card shop. That became like the connection for me and my old man growing up. That's why cards have always been super important to me. Before the money, before the breaking, the influencing, all the other crap, it was that. And the same thing with my brother. Like when Russ was old enough to drive, it was awesome. Because then all of a sudden it was like, well, me and him would go. Instead of him wanting to just hang out with his friends and, hey, I don't want to be with my younger brother. And again, 7 years is a big difference in age as a teenager. That just became our thing. So every now and again, I do think it's important to just remember like, hey, you should have something more invest. And if you're only in the card game to flip, make money, if it's strictly a business, I don't mind. Like, whatever. People are going to do what they want to do. But I think it's awesome. Like, if you can find a way to get sentimental about something in the card game, whether it be a relationship that it creates for you, you know, friends online, friends in person, whatever, even just the pieces of cardboard. I mean, there's multiple. You know, I'm recording from home today, so I've got the bookshelf behind me. You can't see it. Like, there's literally 10 or 15 pieces up there that have a story for me, which that's why card collecting has become so important. Bonus. Yes, I get to support my family because of this, and my wife kind of, you know, doesn't have to work as much or at all now, and this supports us. But it is wild to say this about pictures of people on cardboard that you've never met most of. But I think that story is true for so many. So many times, like, guys reach out to us on social and it's like, oh, hey, you know, collected cards with my dad as a kid. We've had a couple guys recently too. My dad just passed or my grandfather just passed, whatever it is. But I found their collection and all of a sudden, just like instantly, that connection is made again. Like, it brings back awesome memories with the old man, with the grandfather, whatever it is. And then you've got like a piece of that history. I think that is super important. I really do. Like I said, I don't often get on here and try to get sentimental and talk specifically hobby history and other things. But I do. I just think it's super valuable to have a connection if you can. Again, if that's not your thing, it's just a money grab. I understand. No problem. Do whatever you want. I don't care. People can do whatever they want. But when you make the connection like that, it becomes way more than just a hobby. It becomes more than a card. It even becomes more than, hey, I'm watching a game I would have no interest in. You know, like now I'll do that. I'll watch a game I don't care about because I've got, you know, players. I have cards of these players, so I'm invested now. But if you can turn it into, which I think so many people do, this connection, that like that to me is still at the absolute core of what this is about. It's not about Panini and Fanatic suing each other. It's not about, I like this slab better than that slab, or, hey, I made this flip, or I like breaking, or I think breakers are the plague of the earth, or any of that crap. It's not about pump and dump and what these, you know, this guy told me to buy that or whatever. If you can keep up that as a piece of it, I think it's very important to keep you grounded if you're going to be in this game for the long haul. I've been collecting now probably close to 30 years. I've come in and out. I mean, especially when I got married, early 20s, came in and out. But that is kind of what always brought me back to it. Even at times, like when my dad was down here, that became our family trip every year for my dad, uncle, and brother. We do the national. We've done that 4 or 5 times now because that was it. Like, hey, let's just all get together. It's either going to be in Chicago, AC, wherever it's going to be. And that's what we're going to do. That will be our trip. Again, it's about family. I understand that. But the cause, the surrounding, you know, circumstance was cards. And so I just think, again, like I said, if you're going to be in this for the long haul, if you can really get down and make a connection like that, I think that's what keeps people around. I have cards, by the way, that I am 90% upside down in. Some of my Kobe's I've talked about, a couple LeBrons, even some Brady's I'm way down on. Yeah, it hurts. It's miserable. You know, you look at them, you're like, oh, this made a stupid investment, stupid buy, whatever. But at the end, or even the flip side too, hey, I sold this way too early. Now this card is worth six figures and it was worth four figures before. That's all well and good, whatever. The wins and the losses along the way. But I do think it's important. And that's not a message you'll ever hear from me again. I'm never going to get sentimental like this. It's just, hey, with the kid coming, I really was like, hey, that was a huge part of my childhood. Like it really just was. And it helped me with the relationships. It did. It helped me with family relationships growing up. It helped me connect to people that I wouldn't be friends with otherwise. Because like I said, I think if you're collecting cards like I was from the age of five right through high school, probably not the most popular kid in school. It's a lot different than it is now. But that escape was awesome. So I did want to at least say that. I think we spent plenty of time. Now I'm going to just tear people apart for the next 20 minutes to balance this out. But I do. I think it's also important, like I mentioned, loud minority. You know, the small, the 1% of the people who want to complain and whine about everything. I also find those people to be the most closed-minded. Hey, it's only this way or it's only that way. Dude, collect what you like. At the end of the day, if that is the baseline of what you're doing and you're enjoying it, fantastic. Like, I just think that's crazy important. So, boom. Positive message. Carlos, were you expecting that kind of a message on a solo show? Or were you in the Jesse camp where you were terrified I was going to ruin some things? You can be honest.
I wasn't scared of anything, but I was definitely a little surprised that we're going with the positivity route from a solo show with you.
I'm a positive man, Carlos. Let's go, Lorca. You know what? Dude, we're going to keep the surprises going. Me and Carlos were talking about, do the drum roll thing. Jesse, hit the button. Lorcana. This is ridiculous. Positive and now Lorcana. What's the story with your LCS down there? Or up there in New York?
So, yeah, I'm in Virginia. So my local game store.
Have you ever been in New York?
Have I ever been to New York?
Have you ever lived in New York?
I've never lived in New York.
You've always been in Virginia?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Get to know your producer. Okay, this is fun. Virginia.
Yeah, so my local game store, Dragonfire Games, what they've been doing is they are selling Lorcana product at MSRP. And they're doing it for only people who participate in the events and play the game. So that kind of, you know, encourages people to actually play the game and tries to grow a player base instead of just selling it to people who just want to sit on it or flip it.
Do you play, by the way?
I haven't played because I was in Sweden when they had their first event and their second event sold out. So
so it's working then. Like they're at least selling out with these things.
Yes.
Dang. What do you know MSRP?
I don't know off the top of my head.
It's like half of what the retail is though right now, right? They're taking
for sure. I mean, they're not taking a loss or anything because sure. I mean they're getting it for, you know, whatever they're getting it from their distributors. But people, you know, it's just, I like it because it's like encouraging people to actually like try playing the game. And because what we were talking about before is sometimes when new games, card games come out, it becomes this thing of like the interests of collectors versus actual TCG players are like opposed to each other, sure. Right? Because collectors, they want to see their investment go up. Like, but TCG players, they want the game to be affordable so they actually can actually play the game. So it becomes like this problem. And I don't know. It's just, it can be really frustrating for sure when you are trying, you think you might enjoy a game. And I've seen this in like my local area of like, you know, people thinking, oh, I might try getting into this game. And then they look and they see the price of product and it's like, well, never mind.
Yeah, not even affordable.
And then the game doesn't, right. And then the player base doesn't grow. So the game doesn't last. Or even if it does last, it's like only a collector's item. And it's just like, I don't know. It's I'm so TCG brained that it's like hearing you guys talk about like, you know, Pokemon, and it's just a completely different perspective.
Sure.
And it's fascinating.
And you hate us because of it.
I don't hate
it's
you.
It's okay. I understand. No. I actually, by the way, I think that's awesome. Your shop is doing that because at the end of the day too, that I guarantee people who are playing the game are in this thing for the next 10 releases, even if they don't come out 5x on every release. They don't care about that.
Right.
Yeah, way more sustainable. Yeah. I think that's pretty cool. Good for them. So, yeah, so I'm sorry. I'm going to tell Jesse, no more pumping Lorcana. We're ruining it for Carlos's friends, Jesse. Stupid kid, I'm telling you, Jesse. He does. He ruins everything. This is what he does in the relationship. I don't even know what to say anymore. Positivity, Lorcana. I mean, I guess we can just be done. Like, just the most shocking solo podcast of all time. I haven't yelled about anything yet. Oh, this is actually another note. Again, my notes are on my phone today because it's just a total mismatch, made-up thing. Carlos, can you do me one other favor? Can you pull the Vegas odds for the NL MVP when you have a second? I am pretty sure Mookie Betts has now overtaken Acuna in the odds in Vegas to win the MVP. Vegas is rarely wrong about these things. It's going to flip-flop back and forth. But if that's the case, like if it ended today, I would just go with whatever the Vegas odds say. This is insane because for a long time, people were absolutely going crazy loading up on Acuna base cards out of Topps Chrome. The buyback, a 20-cent base card is now worth $20, and a refractor that was $3 is worth $40, and the color, the price goes up because of the MVP buyback. If you have Mookie stuff, it is probably time to pull it and set it aside. About 3 weeks ago, when we started talking about this, Acuna was far and away number one. Freddie Freeman was two. Betts was kind of a distant third. The only thing I don't love about this, just from an MVP standpoint, I don't love when two guys are on the same team. I think that usually affects voters a little bit when, you know, to have two top five guys, Freeman and Betts. But Mookie Betts is having like a historic August. So also the Dodgers, I think, are at this point the second best record in the NL, maybe second best in the league. I'm not sure. I know they're super high up. It's amazing to see that Mookie Betts stuff. It's almost like nobody's paying attention. The only thing I've even seen in connection with Mookie having this amazing year and, you know, now front runner for the MVP, the only thing I see is the MVP buyback. His pricing has done almost nothing. I'm not saying go out and buy Mookie stuff now or go out and try to sell and set new comps, but I do think it's interesting. If you're a believer in Mookie, like now all of a sudden this is a guy on a team that's probably close to the to the World Series favorites. Is he the leader now, Carlos?
Yeah, Mookie Betts is -145 to win MVP.
What is Acuna, like +200?
+125. So it's not like a huge favorite, but
that's crazy though. Because 2 weeks ago, Acuna was like -600 and Mookie was third. I kind of like this solo thing with Carlos. I'm telling you. He actually looks stuff up if I ask him. Jesse's like, what? We have to look that up. And then he coughs or something. We have to cut audio. So yeah, I'm not saying like, hey, go buy Mookie, but it is crazy to me that Mookie, who's already won at least one, I wonder too, does he won two MVPs? At least one MVP. He's won at least one championship, maybe two. It's like, this is another guy in the hobby that is probably top three. If you're starting a franchise tomorrow, probably a top three pick, top five pick. And hobby love, like nothing compared to Trout, Acuna, even Soto and Tatis for a while. So, and of course, nothing compared to prospects because we go crazy for that. Mookie is interesting, man. If this kid goes on a run like this, wins the MVP like that, goes on to make a World Series run, there's some huge upside there. I don't know if that's going to happen because I don't care, but I do wonder. Have you heard any of the other Ringer shows talking about this, like how great he's been playing lately?
No, not really. We don't have too many baseball pods, and I don't listen to too many baseball pods, smart. So it's a great combination.
Hey, you know who has a podcast? This is the most random thing I ever heard. Johnny Bananas. Yeah. It's like a huge podcast too. I had so many people, I don't know what he said about sports recently on the podcast, but they were like, when is Johnny coming on the podcast? I didn't know the challenge was still happening. That was a thing when I was like a teenager. These dudes are still doing this.
Yeah, I produced the pod that Tyson Apostle did while he was on the challenge last year, I think.
This is still like a major show.
Yeah.
And podcast.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Let's get Johnny into collecting cards. Here's the only problem with Johnny. I don't need a guy that good looking who's older than me coming on the show. I'm not comfortable with it. But yeah, I had no idea. So you were aware of this.
Yeah.
That's fun. Dude, I remember that growing up. CT was like the guy. I was back in Boston. What is that psychopath doing now? Is he on the show? Is CT on the show?
I don't think so. I'm not going to lie and say I've listened to the pod that regularly, but I know it exists.
Well, there you go. We're having Johnny on the show next Thursday. Johnny's going to co-host Thursday. Make that happen, Carlos.
Oh, okay.
I'm excited. I wonder if he collects cards. He collects cards. He's literally traveling the world, like hanging out with a bunch of women. He's like, collect baseball cards? I don't think that fits in, but you never know. Anyways, moving right along. We're going to be done early, Carlos. I'm flying through these topics, and I'm pretty happy about it. Brian Gray left Leaf, stepped away. I think it was 2 days ago now. We saw the announcement. course, I emphatically said there was no chance this was going to happen last episode. He stepped away. He's released some statements too, like, hey, it's been a long time coming. Just needed to find somebody who could replace me. They have not named the replacement that I've seen. He basically just alluded to, hey, I want some time with family. You know, Brian's got to be, man, I wonder how old, got to be 60-ish, I would think, because he's been around forever. So I have very publicly been critical of Brian in a number of instances because our personalities just clash, you know, quite frankly. But say what you want. The dude has survived the initial Topps takeover, the Panini takeover. He survived the Fanatics takeover. And Leaf is still like the number three company here, which is impressive. Like when you're going up against Topps and Fanatics, as long as you have been forever, and Panini, well, Fanatics slash Topps and Panini, the fact that Leaf has remained as relevant as it is really a credit to the dude. Again, just to stay on this stupid theme of being positive, Leaf is not everybody's favorite product, whatever. It's pretty impressive. The other thing I will tell you about Brian is anybody who has ever had an issue with customer service has gotten taken care of. He's arrogant and brash and loud and outspoken, which is why we don't get along, because I think I am the exact same thing. We need to have him on the pod now, though, too. I'm backing down. All positivity and backtracking. There's your episode title. Gio has a heart that is more healthy than Jesse's, and he's backtracking from bad takes. Boom. Carlos is like, what is happening here? But yeah, stepping away, people said he's going to join Fanatics. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm going to take Brian at face value with what he said. It's just he's stepping away. Money's not an issue. I guarantee that guy's worth quite a bit of cash, as he should be. I think he probably still owns Leaf unless he sold out his percentage of it. But good on him. Like I said, there's been some scandals over the years with Leaf, some other things. I find Brian has always been pretty outspoken about almost anything that's happened. Even when SCR went after him, he went on the pod and answered questions. So love him or hate him, I do. I think he was probably an overall good thing for the hobby. Like, I do. He tried his best to keep some people accountable. And again, I think he made a product that, at least for the price point, I actually think is, I mean, there's a bunch of Leaf products I still think are very good for the price point. So I don't love all of it. I think there's some trash, just like I think there's trash with every other company. But to his credit, he really was the face, by far the most accessible card manufacturer, card owner, you know, brand owner, whatever you want to say. So yeah, I did want to at least spend a minute and talk about that. Next, Topps Cosmic. I'm pretty excited about that one this week. Quick release note. I think there's other releases this week, but I do just want to hit on Cosmic quick. It comes out Wednesday. So Wednesday is what, the 30th? This product is interesting to me. I am not as excited about this product as Eddie is. Eddie loves this stuff. I like it. It's a little too expensive for me. It's $375 a box right now. I don't know. That's the bad. I think the price is high, although last year's boxes are still $600. So maybe the price isn't that bad. It's a 200 card base set, which is small. I do like that. The rookies in the base set are stupid. It does have everybody. So Corbin Carroll, Volpe, Adley, Gunner, Yoshida, Casas, Josh Jung, Michael Harris, all the rookies that were in Pristine have been in everything else they are in. The other thing, though, that's nice over Pristine, Oscar Colas is back on the checklist. And then it is weird. At first, I thought this was a good thing. Now I don't think it is. And I'll explain. So there's four guys who have not been in anything as rookies this year who are now going to be in Cosmic with the rookie logo, which means they're not going to have Topps Chrome rookie, base Topps Chrome rookies. They'll have update. But they're pretty big names. Like Zach Neto is in this product for the Angels. Obviously, a stud prospect got called up early. I love it for this product. He's in there. I hate the fact that we're going to miss out on the other stuff. So he won't have a finest rookie ever. He won't have a true Topps Chrome rookie. Matt Mervis, stud for the Cubs. Again, by the way, I would also say because of this, I guarantee some lazy, stupid breakers are going to just be too dumb to look at the checklist. The Angels will be expensive anyways. I get that. But like the Cubs now have Christopher Morel and Matt Mervis. The Cubs are a really, really good team here. Some guys are going to drastically underprice them. The other team is the Reds. The Reds are going to be stupid cheap for some people because they're not going to pay attention. Matt McClain is a top five rookie of the year candidate in the NL, having an awesome year. He's another one. He finally has some rookie stuff. This will be his first. I think people are going to totally miss that. The Reds will be all over it. And the Twins, like again, just randomly, Edouard Julien, the French kid prospect for them, is all over the checklist, which is helpful. And who was the other? Oh, Oscar Colas for the White Sox, like we already talked about. But even that, the White Sox have been really cheap in some products, especially Pristine, because Colas wasn't in it. You were just chasing vets. So that is interesting to me. You get one audible box, one nucleus refractor, two additional parallels. There's going to be some stuff that sells through the roof. Last year's stuff, the resale was really, really high, but it's going to be expensive. Like PYTs are going to be $4,000 a case. It's an expensive product. We're going to do some smaller breaks too, but we're starting our PYT breaks tonight. So we'll have them on the app and on the Facebook group. So Card Shop Live app and then SCN Breaks is the Facebook group. I like it. I was much higher. To me, it's still Pristine is the best product of the year. I stand by that. We were breaking it last night. I still think Pristine is the best product of the year so far. I think Finest and Topps Chrome are right behind it. I'm curious on this one. The only reason I'm kind of holding back is because of the price. And I lied, by the way. It says there's four autographs a case. That's one every three boxes. Originally, I had said there was one per box. There's not. It's four per case. I think that's the same as last year. I still think it's going to do well. Like I said, Eddie's way higher on this than I am. A lot of guys are super high on it. We've had a lot of people ask. I think it'll be very good. I could see it being a top 10. To me, the color refractors in Pristine just set it over the top. So we've got a ton of it. We got 25 cases in. We'll probably have a few more on the rebuy. So if you're looking for it, we will have a bunch of it. But yeah, I would give this like initially, before I actually see it, I would give this like a 7. Pristine to me is a 9. Finest is a 9. Topps Chrome was a 9. So it's good. I don't know that it's great. The other things too, not releasing this week, but just a quick update on this whole Fanatics, Panini, NFLPA, all this nonsense. We have no official word from either of the companies. We haven't heard from the NFLPA, but it is interesting to me. Mosaic and Elite are going to ship soon. So this whole thing about ceasing immediately, clearly that's legal language that doesn't mean absolutely right now. I don't know what it means, but it doesn't mean today. Like we got Luminance last week. We got Encase last week as well. Elite might even be releasing this week. And then we've got Mosaic, which will be a really big release. So it seems like we're going to have football for at least the kind of near future. We'll see what happens with it. I still think it's a good thing. Whether you like Topps, Panini, whatever, stopping product production is rough. We can't have like downtime and just no releases with pro uniform. So I think that's a good thing. So that's your quick wax update. I got one other thing and then we're going to mailbag. We can be done. So Fanatics announced the other day, they're doing a live in-person event. I forget where it is, but if out of Bowman Chrome U, that was the card that had the Wembanyama, the green refractor. He had one. It was a picture with him and Michael Rubin, and it was autographed first auto ever. Now, we'll start with the bad, by the way. So first of all, Rubin and Fanatics came out and were very much like, hey, we hate redemptions. We want to get away from it. Wemby's a redemption and everything, right? I understand that. Not a great look. In the grand scheme of things, I don't think it's the end of the world, but whatever. It is what it is. It's a bad look. You shouldn't have redemptions if you're going to be outspoken about it. So Wemby green autographs are redemptions. There's 99 of them. Well, they came out the other day and said only 98 of those have been put into the product. The 99th being that first, the one that's inscribed by Wemby, which is going to be a monster. It's probably, I mean, honestly, it's probably a six-figure card or close to it, which is insane to me, but it probably is. So they have... As soon as that was, the pictures came out about that a few months ago too, it was, well, you know, how are they going to determine who gets it? Because when you get a redemption, you just redeem it. You don't know what you're getting back, except you're getting a green auto. How will they determine who gets the inscribed auto? So right off the bat, the whole conspiracy theory, well, let's see, this huge breaker is going to get it. That's who will get the card, or an influencer will get it. So people are mad that it wasn't put in the boxes. I guess that's a reasonable complaint. I think this is the best case scenario, though. Now, everybody is invited to this live event. By the way, even this, again, just shows you how much people just love to whine and complain. If you have the green redemption, you're invited to the live event, they'll give you a flight and a hotel voucher. Immediately, well, what if we can't afford to travel and all that? Well, first of all, if you're getting a voucher, I don't know what we're doing. And if you can't afford to take 2 days off work, why are you buying baseball cards? Like, if you're living paycheck to paycheck that tight, I'm not saying you have to be a millionaire, but what, you can't afford to travel on somebody else's dime for 2 days, but you're worried about your... It makes no sense, but fine. Everybody with the redemption is invited, and they're going to do a live drawing there. By the way, if you can't make it, they're going to also send out the Zoom link. So literally, everybody's included. You get your green redemption anyways. Everybody will get their autograph fulfilled, and then one of the 98 people will also get that inscribed auto. I know people are resistant to this. Like I said, I actually think this is a good idea. I don't like that Fanatics has redemptions in product. Plain, easy. Nobody's going to argue that point. Having said that, I think this is actually a pretty good solution. There's no collusion. Who's going to get it? Who's not? So I thought it was a pretty good thing. But they came out with that the other day. Yeah, do what you want with that. I thought it was pretty cool. That's it. I have nothing else. Carlos, any more Lorcana talk before we go to the mailbag?
Not Lorcana, but I do want to say that as someone who's not involved in the hobby very much.
Yeah, please.
Redemptions as a concept is one of the more baffling things that I've learned about.
Oh, it's insane. And they have expiration dates. It's wild.
That is wild. I mean, in what world is like, oh, we don't have this product, but we're going to give it out anyway. And you may or may not get, like, what's the point? What are we doing?
So here's the reason.
Sell what you have.
So here is the reason, by the way. They don't want to hold up releases based on a couple stubborn players. I understand the rationale. But at this, here's the thing, too. If you're Fanatics, the PA now has equity in your company. I am laying down the law. When we have autographs, like if you're in a product, sign your cards. Like, you're 24 years old. You throw a ball for a living. Like, let's not act like this is, you know, you're running a hospital somewhere. You're throwing a football or shooting a basket. Sign your cards, especially Wemby. That was brutal. So the overall idea of redemptions, I agree with. Absolute trash. But the only way I've ever rationalized it in my head is, do I want a product getting delayed 1-2 months because of some stupid teenager doesn't want to sign? I don't want them left out, totally. But it is miserable. And honestly, every year it's big names. So like 2020, Joe Burrow rookies are redemptions in almost everything. And they have expiration dates. Like, dude, 2020 Prism is a $30,000 case. I pull an auto 3 years from now. Like, what do I do here? Even last year, Justin Fields was a redemption. Kenny Pickett's been a redemption a bunch this year, as has Brock Purdy. And then Wembanyama, who is the class this year. It's goofy. It really is absolutely insane. I think it's the lesser of two evils, but it's still miserable. Like, it's
at some point, we should have me just list off the things that confuse me about the hobby.
Do you have another one? Do you have another one? Fire away.
Well, I wouldn't say but
things you
the
hate.
Whole concept of breaking is just again.
How dare you?
Another thing that's baffling to me.
Yeah, you got to explain. I'm a breaker, so I want to hear it. I, by the way, I hear this a lot. I think it's valid. Give me the reasons.
No, it's just weird. Like, you're okay. So you get on. Okay, this is my understanding of it, and I've been producing on for this podcast for a long time, and I've never asked you guys really anything. So
you don't talk on here. You always give us one word answers, and you're like, yeah, this is great.
Okay, so my understanding of it is you like go on either, you know, an app like your guys' app or some sort of website,
TikTok,
or something.
TikTok, website, whatever. YouTube, yeah. Yep.
And you watch people. So you, okay, like, I think you like pay for a team and then you watch people open the packs. And then if they pull players from that team that you paid for, they send it to you.
Correct. Yeah. So real quick. So you can either do a pick your team where you know the team you're getting, mm-hmm. or you can do what's called a random team. So if the product is $1,800, 30 teams, $60 a spot, you get assigned a random team, or you pick it. So yeah, those are the two basic ones. But yes, that's okay. Everything you said is correct.
Okay, but look, and you know,
please,
I know this.
Don't hold back. We need someone to be negative here.
But so why not just open product yourself?
Great question. So here's what I would tell you. So for example, Cosmic, we'll use the stuff we're using this week. If you bought it right now, it's going to cost you $380 a box, one box. Mm-hmm. Now, let's just say, though, we'll play both ends of the spectrum. I am you know, it's weird. Like, randomly, the Royals have a savage following in baseball cards. If you are literally just, like, yes, I want to go on there and hit the 101 Otani. Everybody wants that. But I love Cosmic. I think it's an awesome brand. I want a bunch of my Royals cards, right? Well, I don't want to spend $400 on the box because there's, like, no Royals in this thing worth $400. Yeah, I could go out and buy singles, but then I got to wait and there's no fun. Like, I know exactly what I'm buying. So the difference would be I could buy the Royals in a full case. Now I have access to a whole 12-box case of only Royals for $40. The flip side, too, is I like the Yankees. Like, the Yankees have Jeter, Judge, Anthony Volpe is a crazy expensive rookie. Same thing. The Yankees are going to be like $350 in a full case break. I could buy one box and maybe hit a couple. I could wait and just buy the big singles. Or, and again, by the way, this comes down to like people, like the thrill of the chase as well. I'm not naive to that. But the other thing is I now have the exposure to the Yankees in a full case. I have 12 boxes to hit this shot, you know, this huge card and all that. So I actually think that's a super valid point, though, what you said. There's a bunch in the hobby who totally agree. They're like, I don't want to watch somebody else break cards. Totally agree.
Yeah, it's just, it's because it's weird because, I mean, I think, you know, breaking is kind of a thing in TCGs. I think it's especially more
Pokemon, like, for sure,
a thing with Pokemon. Mm-hmm. But in a lot of other TCGs, it's a very, very, very small, like, niche market, right? You know, so for me, it's just like, okay, I can either buy product, which I tend to buy like one box of every core set for the game that I play, or I can buy singles. But breaking feels like this, like, in between space, sure, where it's like you're still gambling, but you're paying less than for a full box. So I don't know. It's
valid, man. I think that's super valid. And honestly, there's a ton of people in the hobby who feel the exact same way and would never break ever. And I totally get that. The other thing I would say is, and this is exclusive to us, just to, not exclusive, but this is something too. Like with our breaking, we also offer grading services. You know, so if you pull a card, we'll send it off the next day for you. You get it back before anybody else in the country. Or, hey, we will grade it, get it back, and consign it. And it's just like a community. Like we have certain people in our world that are like, whatever, Hobson, one of my biggest customers, savage Yankees fan. Last night we pulled a super, which is a 101 super fractor, of a guy who nobody has ever heard of. I think even Adam was lying about it, but it was a Yankee, and it was cool. Like right in the room, the guy who pulled it was literally just chasing somebody else. But he's like, hey, I want that card. Awesome. Let me start a group message. He gets to buy his card. But to your point, that is a totally valid point of view. Like, hey, I just want to open my own stuff, or I just want to go buy singles. I totally get it. I would say the advantages are exposure to a little bit more. And then being a part, if your breaker runs at like a community, kind of exposure to a community, but it is not for everyone. That's why I don't push it, man. Honestly, because I think there's so many people who are like, I don't have anything to do with it and never will. I'm totally fine with that. Like, I makes sense to me. I do.
And the grading aspect is also a good point, because that's something that's, again, less popular when it comes to TCGs.
Sure.
Again, it's still a thing, especially Pokemon. It's like its own animal because the collector's market is so big with Pokemon. But with TCGs, grading is not as popular. There's people in TCGs, I'll tell you this right now, who actively hate grading. Like,
because you can't play with it once you grade a card, right?
Exactly. Okay. That's the difference. And that's why it's weird. It's just a different, you know, way of looking at things.
Plus, I got to think, like, TCG people, like even you, like, do you have TCG cards on display in your house anywhere?
No. I have them in binders.
Right. Like, see, that's a difference.
Everything's in binders.
Like, almost everything behind me is graded. It's more displayable, you know? But yeah, because there's
cards in piles behind me. So.
But that is a great point, though. Like, grading for us, not only does it help to value and preserve it, but it's also like, now I can display it easier and safer. But yeah, if there was an interactive, like a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a gamification? It would totally ruin that aspect of it.
Right, because once you grade it, it's like you can't really, if you crack it, you're ruining the value of it to play with it. And it's just like, I don't know.
Dude, I'd like to see somebody at a Lorcana tournament just slamming down stacks, like just graded cards, ruining other people's collections. All right, here's what we're going to do. Who is your favorite baseball team?
You don't care. I'm not a huge baseball person. I mean, in name, I'm a Marlins fan, but I don't know.
This is a perfect answer. I am going to give you the Marlins in a case break. You have to come in. This is the deal. I will give you the team for free in the case break. You have to come in and watch some of it.
All right. Sounds good.
Wednesday night. It's a good thing you didn't say Yankees. I was going to be like, no, we can't really afford that. Marlins, we can afford. You got to try one break. You got to like be in there and watch it and see how it goes. Also, I sing Springsteen. I don't know if you're a Bruce fan.
Okay.
You don't strike me as a type, but that's okay. I like this. Once an episode, here's what we need from you. Once a week, not once an episode. Something you hate or don't understand in the hobby.
Okay.
I think this was great.
I'm down. I've been talking to Jesse before about, like, you know, things that, just as someone who's trying to understand the hobby space, the sports card space, I should say, from a TCG perspective, there's definitely things that are just like, that's a strange way of doing things, or like, I don't understand why you guys would do this.
I'm in. I like it. Jesse asks me crap like this all the time. He just doesn't say it publicly. He doesn't want to look like a fraud. But, well, there you go. Questions with Carlos. We got to find a better name, and we'll find some music. Jesse will do something with the board. I'm excited about this.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. Tis crunchy yet soft. Tis filling yet has a hole. Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's. Huzzah! A toast to breakfast.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on, I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit jiffylube.com.
All right, let's just bang out some mailbag and we'll get out of here.
Let's do it.
I feel bad. I've been very diligent about mailbag lately and studying it ahead of time. I have not even looked. So I apologize to you people in the mailbag. So Bam, what do you think the hobby will be like 5 to 10 years down the road? Fanatics seem to have a vision of what they want. Curious to hear what the expectations are. I mean, number one, I do think 10 years from now, the hobby will be much, much bigger. I don't think a company like that comes in. They're actually going to throw marketing in. They're going to make content around it. They're going to make events. I think it will be a much bigger hobby. Aside from that, I wonder, that's the good. It could be huge and everybody's, you know, in it. It's very prosperous and it's a thriving marketplace. The potential bad is if we have a monopoly for 10 years, what does that actually look like? That's a scary thought. I don't care if you like Fanatics or not. I tend to like them, but that is terrifying to think, hey, we might have a super monopolistic company. Just some small niche things like me and Carlos were just saying, like I would love to see in 5 years, redemptions are totally a thing of the past. That would be amazing. Sticker autos, things of the past. That would be great. Only game used jerseys. That would be awesome. The other thing I'd love is the, I never know the actual word. I always say provenance, but I don't think that's it. Like on the back of the jersey, hey, this is a game worn jersey from in the date of the game. I think that would be amazing. I don't know that we'll ever see any of those things, but if you're asking me, I think that would be awesome. Also, somebody would have bought Card Shop Live for millions of dollars before then. 10 years from now, boom, roasted. Andrew Donnelly, do you think people are confusing this era as junk wax era for a junk set era? I'm sure there are 10 products you could name that need to go. By the way, I don't think it's junk. Yeah, I do think that. But again, the difference here is serial numbering. Like you, even if a base set is crazy overproduced, what is it like? Then go chase the numbered cards or the SP or the K sets or all that other stuff. I think there's so many different ways for you to avoid junk wax, so to speak, or overproduced stuff. And then the overproduced stuff is actually serves a great purpose as well. I don't want, you know, I don't need Theo collecting a $300 numbered card when he's six, but I do want him to have a Mookie Betts base card that's worth a buck. It serves a purpose. I do still think there's a place for all that too. John Dudley, you asked about Kurt's card care. I honestly have not spent much time in it with this whole cleaning of cards and what he does, doesn't do, or anything like that. So I'm going to leave that off. But we can talk about it in the future because somebody else asked about that too. Greg said, do you think there are too many parallels, colors, and different versions of the same card? I think it's a little overdone. Do you think Fanatics will change that? I don't think it's going to change. We've seen as many, if not more, color, refractor, parallels, etc. in top stuff this year than ever before. I don't mind it, though. I would rather have numbered stuff than non-numbered. So I don't hate it. At some point, there becomes like, hey, it is too much. I just, at least me personally, I don't think we're there yet. So, Maddie Tillman, who's your dark horse for the Super Bowl and who are you taking a flyer on to flip? Dark horse, not really a dark horse. I think the Jets are winning the Super Bowl. I think the Jets could win the Super Bowl. It's a loaded team. The only two people I loaded up on in the offseason, though, pretty boring. I held all my Russ Wilson stuff because he was a train wreck last year. I did load up on Aaron Rodgers, and I still have a ton of my Tua stuff in the don't sell box. I'm hoping that turns into the sell for a huge profit box soon. But those are the three guys I'm in on. Eric W., would you rather have a Pop Century Gary V 101 or a Ja Morant Base Prism? Oh, Gary V., are you kidding me? He has psychotic fans. He'd sell it for $80 trillion. I just tell him it's an NFT and they'd spend $6 trillion on the card. If Jesse Rhodes Gibson wasn't on the podcast, this is from BJ Kroger, do you think the show would ever talk about non-sports? This is the only question I saw. And BJ, that's why I told Carlos to hold that. Boom, roasted. Has he made them more relevant in your eyes? No, I don't care about them. I understand it's a big percentage of the hobby, though. So that's why we're talking about it. But no, and that's okay to me, by the way. Like, if Carlos never cared about sports cards, I don't care. Like, he does his thing. I'm never going to care about TCG. I don't care. Like, so what? But I do think it's a thriving market. Like, I understand that. My whole philosophy with TCG stuff now has just been keep my mouth shut and let Jesse talk about it more than I would have. I don't like hearing him speak, but I'm going to try to let him talk more. So, Michael Ferrario, how long would you recommend holding sealed wax until you decide to either rip or sell? Man, especially ripping, it terrifies me because of the redemption issue. But sell as soon as stuff spikes. 2022 years ago was a perfect example. Burrow makes a Super Bowl run. Stuff goes absolutely nuclear. Sell it all. If Purdy and Pickett and Ritter start off crazy hot on 22 stuff, dump it. Like, to me, wax has become such a volatile game. I dump it when I see the opportunity to. Sam King, call out some more donkey behavior. How dare you? This is a positive show. So no. Christoph, I'm hoping to get at least one look at me. I'm Jesse Rhodes Gibson, and I'm really tall. I like Mickey Mouse and staying positive all the time impression. Is Mickey Mouse in California? I thought he was in Florida. What's the one in California? Is that Disneyland? Disney World?
Disneyland is in California. Disney World is in Florida.
Gotcha. Well, he's in Alcatraz, so I don't know what he's doing over there. I don't have any Jesse impressions. I guess I do. I don't have time for it. I hadn't thought about it. Mike M. Mike, nice you don't have Jesse dragging you down today. That is correct. He did say just teasing Jesse, but I don't think he was. Anyway, as I watch break prices on team spots shift and continued interest in Topps Chrome Baseball, I think the MVP buyback might be one of the best hobby promotions in recent years. Your thoughts? Absolutely. Again, there is plenty of bad that Fanatics has done. You can take your shots, redemptions, other things, whatever. The MVP buyback from Topps and Fanatics is amazing. Like, it is a win for literally everybody. You have incentivized base cards that have no value, and now they have value. I don't, and also, by the way, it's credit in stores that are participating. So it's literally driving business to LCSs. I don't know how there's a downside. I totally agree, Mike. Let me see here. Scott Boland just said mythical creatures. This reminded me. Years ago, we had people trying to poach people from our Facebook group. I called this idiot. He had a card show. I got a cease and desist letter from a lawyer, I'm pretty sure. I did not tell him I was recording the conversation, or we were live on Facebook. And the guy, one of these people who just continued to talk over me, no matter what I said. So then I started making stuff up. I was like, dude, I get it. Like, you know, Mookie Betts and Mike Trout. Like, dude, there's mythical creatures. There's, like, you know, Gandalf was in that set. And this dude just kept talking. We talked for like 20 minutes. And the next day I got a message and it was like, hey, we've contacted attorneys. Like, we're at a one party, we're a two party state or something. And I was like, okay, well, that was fun at least. But I don't think I ever got sued. I don't remember receiving the papers. So, but mythical creatures. Thank you, Scott. That was a nice reminder. Jeremy Goldman, with all the turmoil around Panini, do you think there's a chance of there being fewer NFL cards and sets this year? Eventually, maybe. I'm hoping things get tied up in litigation long enough to ride out the entire season. That is best case scenario. But after the next month or two, I think it gets a little dicey. And then do you think QBs and college jerseys will be worth holding? I do. If there's less pro stuff, people are going to turn somewhere. And I don't know how much 23 we're going to see. So I think it's at least interesting. Josh Ball, will it be 2023 Stadium Club Baseball? Yes. I don't know why there wouldn't be. I'm assuming we'll have Stadium Club and Stadium Club Chrome. I'd be shocked if we didn't. They don't have release dates as of yet, but I think they will. I didn't understand this question. I wonder if you know what this is. Carlos, Mark Fox, I guarantee AR cards are coming. NFT type cards with added things like interactive player messages, displays. What are AR cards? Do you know?
Augmented reality is the first thing I thought of, but I don't know if that's what he was talking about.
I don't know what kind of blasphemy he's talking about. We already talked about mystical creatures. Mark, AR cards and mystical creatures. We don't care. If you pull an autograph price from Jason and it's not numbered, what is the print run? Can't be more than a few thousand, I would guess. Yeah, a lot of stuff is still not numbered, but yeah, I can't imagine there's that many. A couple of you guys wrote books in here, which I appreciate. We just can't read them on. Jonah, though, any chance you have Brian Gray come on to discuss his time at Leaf? We would. I think Brian listens. Brian, if you want to message us on you might even have my phone number. If you want to message me, text me, or if you want to reach out on socials, Brian. Again, I'm in a good mood. Let's have him on. I'm all about it. So we got some soccer questions. Again, no offense. I only talk about sports. Sorry. Couple guys. I had a great time at that soccer game, dude. I'm in on soccer. I don't know what it's called or what was happening, but we had a great time. Johnny Watt asked about, should grading companies have subgrades? Would it help, like, kind of consistency? Yes and no. Like, subgrades are great, but people also crap on Beckett for being inconsistent. You know, if PSA had subgrades, they would be inconsistent at times. SGC would be inconsistent. It's human grading. There's always going to be differing of opinions. There's always going to be inconsistencies. I don't think we're ever going to get around that. So last question, Jacob. With players, specifically Kershaw and Mookie Betts, that don't currently sign in tops, that is weird. They're almost never in. Mookie, I don't think, has been since, like, his rookie year. With all these big changes going on, could we see those guys sign again? Or is it more of a personal reason why they don't sign? I mean, Jacob, I think we're going to see more guys added to the list as we see licenses come up and obviously Fanatics coming into the space wanting to spend money. So I do think we'll see. I can't speak to those guys specifically, but I think eventually we'll start seeing more guys. I mean, we're even hearing rumors now LeBron maybe in some Topps products going forward. So could be very interesting. There you go. That is your mailbag. That is your show. I'll be back on Thursday. No Carlos, no Jesse on Thursday. Me and Eddie on Thursday. Eddie and Eddie, by the way. Eddie from SCN Breaks is coming on for a few minutes, and Eddie, the producer. So there you have it. Carlos, closing remarks. What do you got?
It was nice talking to you. I'm looking forward to a recurring segment, hopefully.
I tell you, that is a great idea. I like this. Questions with Carlos's concerns. He likes that. He's smiling, folks. I saw it on camera. There you go. All right, guys, that is your show. We'll be back on Thursday. Unless a kid is born, then I won't be here. Goodbye.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.